Salomon is the author of 6 books, including The Devil's Candy, considered a Hollywood classic about filmmaking gone awry. She was born in Ohio, graduated from Tufts and NYU Law School. Salomon was a reporter and film critic for The Wall Street Journal for many years, and then became a culture writer on the staff of The New York Times. Her novella, The Christmas Tree, was a New York Times bestseller and has been translated into 8 languages. Julie's work has also appeared in The New Yorker, Vanity Fair, Vogue, Bazaar, and The New Republic. She now lives in Manhattan. Today, we're going to be speaking with her about her latest book, Wendy and the Lost Boys. It's about Wendy Wasserstein, who won a Pulitzer Prize and was the first woman playwright to win a Tony Award. Wasserstein wrote 11 plays during her lifetime, which explore topics ranging from feminism to family, ethnicity to pop culture. They include The Heidi Chronicles, The Sisters Rosenzweig, An American Daughter, Old Money, and more. In addition to her Tony Award and a Pulitzer Prize, Wendy won a New York Drama Critics Circle Award, a Drama Desk Award, and an Outer Critics Circle Award. Wendy also wrote the screenplay for the 1998 film The Object of My Affection, which starred Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd. Wasserstein is described as an author of woman identity crises. Her heroines, intelligent, successful, are riddled with self-doubt. Their hard-earned sense of self-worth was often shadowed by frustrating knowledge that American women's lives continued to be measured by their success at capturing the right man. Wasserstein commented that her parents allowed her to go to Yale only because they were certain she would meet an eligible lawyer there, get married, and lead a conventional life. Wasserstein gave birth to a daughter, Lucy Jane Wasserstein, on September 12, 1999, when she was 48. The child's difficult birth was 3 months premature and is recorded in her collection of essays, Schick's a Goddess. Wasserstein, who was not married, never publicly identified her daughter's father. Wendy was hospitalized with lymphoma in December 2005 and died on January 30, 2006. The news of her death was unexpected because her illness had not been widely publicized. The night after she died, Broadway's lights were dimmed in her honor. Welcome, Julie. Thanks so much for stopping by the Book Report, and congratulations on your great reviews.
Thank you very much.
In your capacity as critic for The Wall Street Journal and culture writer for The New York Times, I'm assuming you knew Wendy?
Actually, I didn't. I met Wendy in the course of doing this book.
Oh, you met her while compiling all the interviews.
Well, I didn't meet her literally. Yeah. I met her spiritually, I guess.
All right. Your book was based on more than 300 interviews. How long did it take you to write it and research it?
The whole process took about 2.5 years from start to almost finish.
Yeah. And what members of her immediate family did you actually have the opportunity to interview?
I interviewed her sister, Georgette, her brother, Bruce, who sadly died 6 weeks after I interviewed him. And then I spoke to a lot of her nieces and nephews and cousins. So almost everybody who was left alive in her family, I spoke to.
Now, her siblings were pretty successful in their own rights. Can you talk about that?
Yes, her oldest sister, Sandra, who was quite a bit older than Wendy, was the first woman to become a high-level executive at both Citibank and at American Express. That was back in the 60s when women didn't achieve those kinds of positions. And then Wendy became a Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright in the late 80s, and her brother Bruce became a billionaire, the chairman of Lazard Frere, which is a big investment banking advisor.
And all with what seemed like a pretty terrible mother. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Well, Lola Wasserstein was a wonderful and terrible mother. She was somebody who thought her children were the best who existed, but nothing they did was good enough. And I think that combination of that they were better than everybody else, but what they did wasn't quite as good as they could do, really pushed them to be successful, but also, I think, kept them from being entirely happy.
Talk about the kind of unknown brother, Abner.
Abner was the fifth Wasserstein sibling. When I started working on the book, I read Wendy Wasserstein's obituaries, and half of them said there were four siblings, and half of the obituaries said there were five. And the fifth was Abner, who was born a normal kid, and then when he was about five, got ill and started having seizures, and he became what we would now call developmentally disabled. And his parents kept him at home for a while, but before Wendy was born, they put him in a special school. And the parents continued to visit him throughout their lives, but he became a secret. Wendy never met him until she was almost 50 years old.
Now, was Wendy really named for the Peter Pan character?
Honest and truly. Her older sister, Sandy, loved the Peter Pan story. She named Wendy after Wendy.
Okay.
She wasn't the only one. Wendy was born in 1950, and if you look at the spike in the name Wendy, after Mary Martin played Peter Pan on Broadway and then it was broadcast on television, the number of Wendy's grew exponentially, and Wendy was one of those Wendy's.
I know. When I was a kid, we used to wait for that once a year showing on TV.
Me too. I grew up. I used to know the entire score, which I will spare you. I won't sing it for you.
Now, Wendy did go to Yale, and did she actually know Meryl Streep and Sigourney Weaver at that time?
She did. She was at the Yale Drama School in the mid-1970s, and Meryl Streep and Sigourney Weaver were a year and 2 years ahead of her, but they were definitely part of the group of people. It was a small program, and Wendy was one of the few women playwrights there, so everybody knew everybody.
Hmm. And I know that when she came to New York, she had colleagues at the Playwrights Horizons. Talk about that.
Well, when Wendy started her career, Playwrights Horizons became her main producer. And at the time, Christopher Durang was there. James Lapine, who now directs and writes a lot of Stephen Sondheim's plays. Terrence McNally, who's a very well-known playwright, was there. William Finn, who's extremely well-known. He did the Spelling Bee play, the Putnam County Spelling Bee, and many other funny musicals. So it was just this confluence of talent in the 80s. And the book is partly about that baby boom theater generation as well.
Wendy seemed like such a larger-than-life person, yet she was so very private. Frank Rich, her great friend and former theater critic and columnist for The Times, wrote after her death, "How could the most public artist in New York keep so much locked up? Why?"
Wow, you just picked out the line in the book that was the reason I wanted to write this biography, because Wendy Wasserstein wrote these plays that seemed very autobiographical. She wrote essays that revealed everything, or seemed to. You know, she gave birth to her daughter, and 2 seconds later, she's at the typewriter or the computer screen writing an article about it. And yet, after she died, all of her friends found out that she had kept them all sort of in compartments. She told this to one and that to the other, but her inner self she kept very secret. And I think a lot of it had to do with Abner, the brother who had been kept away from the family. I think, you know, Wendy would always joke that in their family, when somebody died, they would say, oh, they went to Europe. So she was raised on this atmosphere of secrecy and not telling. And I think she internalized it, and that became how she lived her life.
Why do you think the Heidi Chronicles was the runaway success that it was?
Because I think Wendy put her finger on sort of a lot of the issues that women of her generation in particular, the baby boom generation, were grappling with. She went to college between 1967 and 1971. She was at Mount Holyoke College. And during those 4 years, everything really changed for women. When she entered Mount Holyoke, they had to come home by a certain hour. They had to wear a certain kind of clothes. They had to dress for dinner. By the time they left, it was, you know, open season on anything. And in other colleges, it was co-ed dorms. I mean, everything changed. And I think that with the Heidi Chronicles, Wendy Wasserstein, when she wrote it, was in her late 30s, and she had become a successful playwright, but she wasn't married. She didn't have children. She hadn't figured out how do you balance having a successful career and having a family. And I think those were a lot of the issues she was confronting at a moment in time when her whole generation was confronting them one way or another. And I think She was saying on stage what a lot of women were thinking and feeling but were afraid to say. And I think she just hit a nerve in the zeitgeist, and that's what caused it to be such a big success.
I know. I'm personally interested. What has happened with her daughter? She was a single mom, so who's actually raising her daughter?
Yeah, well, that's a really sad story, because Wendy was 48 when she had her daughter, and then within a year, she Wendy, became quite ill. And for really most of Lucy Jane's life with Wendy was getting sicker and sicker, and she died when Lucy Jane was only 5, just about to turn 6. And so Lucy Jane went to live with Bruce Wasserstein, Wendy's brother, and his third wife, Claude Wasserstein. A year later, they got divorced, and so Lucy Jane and her two stepbrothers, who were also her cousins, went back and forth between the two of them, and then Bruce died. But in between, he married a fourth wife. Anyway, Lucy Jane's living with the third wife, Claude, who I think is quite a good mother. So she's had a big childhood, and she's only 12.
That must be tough. I can only imagine she'll be writing soon, too.
Right, that's what I thought. She's going to have her own story to tell.
And what are you working on now? This book is wildly successful. So what's next for you?
Well, I'm just starting to map out a book that I want to write that I'm not going to tell you because I'm highly superstitious. And if it doesn't work out, I don't want to have you beat me over the head with it. But I'm looking at a story about the relationship between a very old person and a very young person, because I think there's something about that generational transfer that I'm quite interested in. And it kind of carries forward a lot of the themes of Wendy Wasserstein's life, because I think she was thinking a lot about what our lives mean. And what is it that matters in our life, and what do you leave behind for the people who come after you?
Well, I know I'll be anxiously looking forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck with your new book.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to have talked to you.